Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hi, everybody. This is Lori Peters from the Happiness Hangout, a place to support and grow your loving partnerships. As always, excited to be here talking about one of my favorite topics, self-esteem and self-love. And as per usual, we have a guest on with us to help us get all the energy going in our show. So as you most of you know, many of you listen through podcasts, so we typically don't take calls, but we can do that if there is a call, we can do that. But first, I want to tell you about who we have today. We have Kanisha Coleman with us. She is an award-winning community leader and co-host of the Lifestyle segment for the Cynthia Austin Show. Kanisha is a recognized expert and speaker on the topics of mastering self-esteem, dealing with domestic violence, and healing after abuse. Kanisha grew up in Dallas, Texas, and she survived the escalating trauma from domestic violence, teen dating violence, and the molestation from her favorite uncle. Kanisha shares her inspirational story in her best-selling book, He Loves Me Not, Buried Tears of Betrayed Love, which has been featured in BBU Magazine and The Cynthia Austin Show. Today, Kanisha frequently shares her insight and background with other families and survivors seeking healing from abuse as part of her coaching business, which is called Coaching by Kanisha. So, Kanisha Coleman, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Hello, Lori. How are you?
I'm good. Good. So glad to have you here today.
Same here.
Well, you know, like I said, self-esteem and self-love is such a passion of mine in particular, and it's so important to be talking about these issues, especially when it's heightened for women, especially women who have been through trauma in their lives. And also, you know, there's so many women and even men, of course, out there who really suffer from low self-esteem. From a variety of reasons, and it may be physical abuse, could be mental abuse, could be any kind of abuse, and lack of self-love, maybe not having the nurturing that they've needed as they were growing. So I really think on some level, you know, so many of our listeners can relate to this and even pass this show on. Hopefully we're syndicated through several podcasts, and hopefully they'll pass this on to others who need it as well. So if you don't mind, Kanisha, I'd like to start out by just talking to you a little bit about about who you are and what you do in your business and how you got to be a award-winning community leader.
Okay, Lori. Well, first of all, I am a self-esteem enhancing expert. And I help individuals who, like you said, who are suffering with low self-esteem, maybe feeling unworthy, to find their purpose in life, who may be struggling, even stuck in their life, in their business, in their relationship or career. So to help them embrace their true self and honor success. Because a lot of time with low self-esteem, you really don't know who you really are, and you don't really congratulate or celebrate success. You kind of play things down. So I help you to embrace your true self and play full out and actually honor your success and really support you to do more. So that's just a little bit about what I do. And I chose self-esteem because I really believe that self-esteem is the core of all the decisions that we make, you know, whether it's the partner that we choose, you know, the position that we choose to work in, your friends, so even the clothes that you wear has a direct effect about really how you feel about yourself, your self-esteem, your how you view yourself. And self-esteem is such an important element to have, and that sometimes we don't really, because we can't see it, we don't really value self-esteem. So, and I teach people the value of having a healthy self-esteem.
Well, that's so true. And, you know, when you talk about self-esteem going all the way at your core, that really hit me even from what you're wearing. And I can see what you mean by that, that it really affects everything that you do, not just how you think, but like you said, how you dress and how you speak and who your friends are. Because at the core, if you don't believe in you, you're going to show to the world a certain kind of person. When that shifts, you show yourself another kind of way. And I will tell you, I did suffer from low self-esteem, which a lot of people cannot fathom that I ever had low self-esteem. And I will tell you, I had really good parents. I didn't have a trauma in my life, but it was self-inflicted, Kamisha. So I can really relate, being super hard on yourself. I suffered from it very badly. I had a big shift in consciousness that made that all turn around, but it affected my love life to the point of just never being able to get it right. And boy, that can be, you know, one of many, many struggles people have. So I get what you're saying. So many things are coming to my mind. I can hardly stand it right now, but I love what you said about affecting every part of you. So when you talk about, like, I guess what I would have you comment more on, when you talk about having low self-esteem and who you pick, if you never think you're good enough, we typically go one of two ways, don't we? Either we go and kind of hide, and then that produces a certain life, or we cover it up by trying to go too over the top, and then that produces a certain kind of life. Do you find people with low self-esteem can go either direction as well, or am I off base on that?
No, actually, you're right on target. And I call that the over the top is really like the mask, because now I have to collect all these items, the degrees and the really big house and the nice position with the corner office, and it's really to cover up how I really feel about myself. But at nighttime, no one can see you, you know, when you're crying and you're thinking about suicide. So it can go either or, you know, either not doing as well and hanging out with a not so good enough crew, or being extremely an overachiever. So yeah, I do agree with you. You're right on point with that.
And, you know, when we talk about people who, you know, it is at the base of everything. And you know, for those mostly women out there, and men too, who have suffered from low self-esteem, they can put themselves, by no fault of their own, in vulnerable positions. And or they have maybe high self-esteem, but then something happens to them and then it just ruins them. And I would imagine when you're working with those who have been traumatized or abused, tell us about some of your work around that.
Well, usually it's like a trigger, and we all have them, to where you're doing really well, you're feeling really good about yourself, and then something triggers you. And a lot of times we don't know about triggers, and you kind of question yourself, well, like, why did I do that? You know, why did I get so upset, or why did I go through such extremes? Because something in that environment triggered you, and you're not really aware of what's going on. And it may have caused you to procrastinate when you normally don't procrastinate, or to overdrink or overspend, or just take, you know, high risk when you normally don't do that, and go down into this self-sabotaging behavior. And so a lot of times, just being really more self-aware of your surroundings and what's going on and your own behavior, but not really, you know, because a lot of us operate on autopilot. You know, you get up at a certain time, you go to work, and you come back home, you cook dinner. It's really on autopilot. So just being more aware of your surroundings and your own behavior can bring you into a point to where you're actually in the present, and you're noticing, okay, certain situations cause an emotional heighten or makes me feel sad. Just being more aware of what's going on around you.
So that's kind of like the first step, because my next thought was, you know, if you become aware, I mean, some people don't even realize what's going on with them. I know growing up, I didn't know, you know, what was happening. I was just doing all the typical things a younger person with lower self-esteem does. You know, try to have the best clothes. You know, I was tanning, putting in my green contact lenses, trying to make everything different about me. You know, everything different about me. Trying to rise to the top of everything I did. And that has, you know, served me well in terms of, you know, making great contacts and everything. But when I was younger, I was doing it for the wrong reasons. But, you know, so what I hear you saying is, once the first thing is to be self-conscious of it and be aware, I am aware that I'm doing things that aren't healthy for me. Then you become aware it's self-esteem and lack of self-love. So you begin to like notice, but that's the first thing to everything. So I love that you bring that up. You've got to begin to notice, or somebody's maybe telling you. Do you think a lot of your clients have people telling them, like, you can't see what's right in front of you? You have a terrible self-esteem issue. Does that happen a lot?
I believe that some of them have been conditioned to feel less of themselves because of maybe they grew up in dysfunctional homes or environments, even just being around other people who have low self-esteem, who didn't have high goals or didn't feel good about themselves. So they reflect their own issues on to you. So, again, that's conditioning to where, okay, well, I can't do that because I remember Miss Green told me I wasn't good at writing, you know, and so you never try to write or, you know, or I don't speak well. They told me I didn't do well in speech class. I got a C, so I'm not going to grow up to be a speaker. So some of these things have been inflicted on you and been running for a long time since your childhood, and a lot of times we compare ourselves to others, and so you're like, well, I'm not as good as her, and look at her life. And again, now it's self-inflicted to where you're comparing yourself to someone else, and you think you're not good enough because this other person is prettier or whatever. They have longer hair, they got blonde hair, or they're skinnier, and you're just as good, but you never even try to, you know, to reach out or to take the next step or even start because you have been consumed from your own negative self-talk.
Gosh, and can we talk about being a kid for a minute? Because first of all, you know, a lot of people having children, I mean, by the nature of having a kid, you're young, okay? Even if you think you're having a kid at the perfect time in your life, say you're, you know, I'm 27, it's perfect. We're fully developed in our brains. We know that happens physiologically at 23. But that doesn't mean our growth level and our ability to raise a human being is really there. You do the best you can. So when you think about being a kid, I mean, you just really hit upon something. Oh, teachers out there, you are so important to a child. Oh my God. You know, I remember I had a first grade teacher, she'll remain nameless. She was so mean. I remember my mother even telling me a few years later, so I had her when I was 6, and my mother said, you know, she was going through a horrible divorce your year. And my mother told me this years later. And I think that's what caused her to do that. She goes, at least I hope there was a reason for it. She would tell us, Kamisha, all I remember, and I still remember to this day, I'm 52 years old and I still remember I was 6. And she said, put your heads down on your desk and screaming at us, cover your ugly faces with your arms. Oh, I don't want to see your ugly faces. And we'll walk out of the room screaming. She was extremely mean. Now, I met her years later and I walked up to her and told her what she had done. She claimed she didn't remember me, but everybody knew who remembers me because I was the kid who owned the Dairy Queen. Okay. We owned the Dairy Queen in town. So everybody knew who I was. So I'd be surprised if she really didn't remember me. And I said something to her about it. I mean, that really messed me up. Now, the next year, I had a beautiful human being for a teacher. She messed me up so bad, I didn't want to go to school till I hit fifth grade. I cried before I had to go because I'm sensitive. And so I'm one little example of what teachers can make such an amazing, beautiful difference in your life. Oh my, and I would imagine in your work, you probably deal with school systems and teachers sometimes.
Yes, I do. And again, the abuse doesn't have to come from your home. And to me, her calling you ugly, that is abuse itself. That's verbal abuse. Somebody calling you ugly, you know, intentionally, you know, that is abuse. You were abused by your teacher, and she inflicted something that caused you a distortment of your self-image. And, you know, I don't know how they played out for you, but people like teachers, your parents, you know, family, close friends have a such a valuable impact on our lives, especially as children. You know, we look to them like they're, you know, they're our God, you know. And so what they say is pretty much law until we know better. So, I mean, and that's one of the things that I mostly deal with. So things that have been inflicting, excuse me, dealing with beliefs and conditions that have been inflicted onto this adult as a child, and that program has been running for 20, 30, 40 years, and it's keeping them from their success and really living and playing full out in your life. So it makes a huge difference, huge difference.
Well, you're so right. When you talk about it being the law and your God, because you look at this tall person who's tall to you, mm-hmm. and when they're not together, when they don't have themselves mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever that might be, together, then right. that gets ingrained in you. And quite frankly, it takes time to even realize it's there and then get it out of you. So it's everything. It's teachers, it's parents, it's grandparents. It's, you know, I grew up in what we called a household who had to be humble. That was my Eastern European background. And I said when I was 13 to my mother once, how come you never compliment me? She felt so bad. And she said, because you're an only child and you know you're spoiled, right? And I was. And she said, I was afraid you were going to turn out to be a monster. So she kind of, you know, and I probably would have. I mean, really, because now, but the funny thing is that I really needed compliments. I really needed to be told that I was good.
Hi, this is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? Check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are. Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information.
All right. Well, we'll get right back into it. You know, we were talking about children and how kids,
you know, who have low self-esteem for whatever reason are stuck with all of that in their minds, not knowing how to process it, not understanding how they're feeling, and not able to explain it to somebody. So then you throw on top of it, if the child has been through a tragedy or trauma, and you know, Kamisha, I have never been able to wrap my arms. I know kids are really resilient, you know, and I know that, you know, it's amazing. But, I mean, how does a child get through this? Do they sit in it for a long time until they're obviously able to deal with it? And then, you know, comes the healing part, and then the self-esteem comes? Or how does it? How do you work with when these tragedies happen to children?
I believe that most of us, when we do seek out healing, you just really get tired of that sad feeling, that pain that you have on the inside. And I'm speaking for myself from experience. I just really got tired of, as an adult, carrying that same feeling of that emptiness, that something was missing on the inside. And I sought out some healing. What was wrong with me, you know, and traced it back all the way back to my childhood. I had the emotions of the 11-year-old child. I was grown and able to work and function and have relationships, but my emotional health was still a kid. You know, I didn't know how to love. I didn't know how to express myself. I was very withdrawn, antisocial. I did not talk to people. And you would think that I was, you know, kind of being standoffish, but this was my way of surviving trauma that I had experienced. And we all have our different ways of survival. So we adapt to our environment, just like you, your teacher, inflicted words of that you're ugly. So your survival method was to become as glamorous and pretty as you could possibly be. I mean, I could be wrong, but that would be like your way of surviving, to cover up this ugliness that she told me that I was. So we all have our different ways of adapting and surviving the trauma. And so one day it's like, okay, I can no longer fake this. Something is hurting me. Something is wrong on the inside. And from that point on, to seek out the help, the answers, whether it's counseling, support groups, different coaching, different books, workshops, anything to help us heal from the inside out.
Because it always manifests. It comes out one way or the other. And I've known victims of abuse. I've known people that have self-esteem issues that haven't been victims of abuse. And it manifests itself in so many different ways. I've never in my life met a person where it didn't manifest or come out in some way. And you were right. Oh my gosh, I was always looking glamorous. Right. Always. Always, you know, and that was the cover up to, you know, to how I was feeling. And other things came from that too. But, you know, the awareness that one has eventually, like you said, and then to make a move on that awareness, to go, you know, like you said, to, and, you know, frankly, you and I both know in abusive cases, many times the abuser says, you say anything, I'll do something drastic.
Right.
And so that is, then you throw that on top of an already traumatic situation. So then once you finally get the gumption, and people should be so proud of themselves for even coming to someone and saying, this has happened to me, I need help. I mean, I think right there, that's a celebration, that a person should celebrate that they got the gumption to do that, because that's as hard as it gets, I think.
It does. I mean, and even as a child, I encourage young children to say something, you know. And sometimes we as parents, we don't always have the answers to fulfill whatever emotional trauma that you're facing. So, and I can say that I have three children, and my daughter came home one day because a young boy had made fun of her. And my question was, what do you think? And because I wanted her to affirm herself. So I was teaching and coaching her that it doesn't matter if I do it, she has to do the work. So teaching her that, to say, you are beautiful no matter what anybody says about you. You are beautiful. You are okay with how you look. So I think those skills are important, not just the parent saying it to the child, but the child saying it to themselves. Because once they become 18 or 21, they leave the house, the parent is no longer there. But they need that same skill to say, you know what, I did a good job today. You know what, I'm good at this. I'm okay with how I look. I'm okay with how my body looks. I'm okay with it. I'm comfortable. And if you're not okay, just change it. So, but, you know, a lot of times we go to different extreme measures and abuse ourselves even more because we're not okay with it. And there are some pain connected to whatever issue or situation happened in the past.
Yeah, you know, that pain, it's just really amazing where it can come from. I mean, people, oftentimes, you know, they say people aren't aware of not just their actions, but what their words can have such a fabulous or horrifying effect on other people. And, you know, we have to be the best human beings we can be. And a lot of people, they don't care about that. You know, they're really not up for that. They don't care. And so there has to be a point where we make that shift. So if we talk a little bit about making the shift, we're aware, we can celebrate. I always believe in celebration, Kamisha, and I think we need to celebrate, you know, the things that we just, you know, take for granted and celebrate the fact that we're aware of it and now we want to do something about it. So then we get to the point where, you know, where do we go from here? We know we need some help, some coaching. What's some advice or tips or what would you tell people who are realizing they're suffering from lack of self-love? And I'm aware that people might need different, you know, therapies, coaching, different behavioral techniques to use whatever, you know, they need to get to feeling better. But what are some of the things you suggest people do once they're aware?
Once they're aware, okay. Just a few things. If you're at home, there's always meditation. We have so many thoughts going through our head, which, again, these thoughts, emotions dictate our behavior. So meditation gives you the opportunity to observe those thoughts and to actually quiet the mind. So meditation is a wonderful avenue to go to engage in more self-awareness. Again, journaling, writing down your thoughts, how you feel, what happened in your day, what are some of the things that you like to change about yourself, your environment, your life. Writing is a great therapeutic avenue to go. And also counseling, sitting down with a therapist, a psychotherapist, and talking about some of those painful issues that is really causing you some, you know, those sleepless nights, or, you know, if you're struggling with overeating or drinking, overweight, you know, you constantly getting into toxic relationships. It may be a connection from your past, from past pain, to where you keep attracting that person or these type of people into your life. So those are just three things, you know, meditation, journaling, and also reading self-help books, you know, very comforting versus watching TV. So I love to read and to learn, really to learn about relationships, learn about what love is, because a lot of times we don't even know what is love. You know, what does it feel like? You know, again, like you said, you never got a compliment from your mom. What, you know, if somebody gave you a compliment, then is this love or is this, what is that? So we need to know what is love. So we then, in turn, love ourselves, reparent ourselves, and give ourselves that love that we didn't get as children, you know, that congratulation, that celebration.
Well, Kamisha, you know, I would say that the lucky part for me is I felt loved. Even though my mother wasn't big with compliments, I felt love from my parents. So that's probably what, you know, what saved me. But I do love what you talk about with journaling and meditation. I know I love to meditate. It's hard for me to do it, but it's good to make yourself do it for, you know, even if it's only for a minute or two, and then you keep gently bringing yourself back. But journaling too, if I don't have time to write it down or make the time, I will do it in the car, and I will literally think about it. I'll use gratitude, and I'll just spew out what I'm grateful for, and that always helps. But I love the reading, and every single time I had a breakup, I used to go get a book, a personal development, yeah. which now they call, of course, personal development, self-help's the name everybody knows, and you know, I did learn a lot, but I kept trying to fix me. I kept trying to figure out what I did wrong in the relationships instead of seeing what was right in front of me, which was the thing that was wrong was at my core. I had mm-hmm. to change. And I took me a while to find that book or to find that right. those people to be with. But you know, don't you think in the end it's always comes back to who to us inside more than anything else?
I do believe that it's us inside. And I have three things that I go by, and is that you should be your friends or your relationship, that the person should educate, empower, and celebrate you. Because a lot of times when you lack that self-love or suffer with low self-esteem, you kind of go with people who are not as supportive. They kind of degrade you or put you down. They're not really excited about your success. They see you mm-hmm. going in the wrong direction, and they don't tell you, you know, hey, don't go that way. Let's try this way. And so in doing that, recognizing that if a person is not celebrating you, educating you, or empowering you, you're probably in the wrong tribe. And that's for people that is working to earn love. If you've been earning love, you don't have to earn love. Love is just giving. So if you go by those three principles, where if you're in a relationship or friendship and this person is not treating you well, the first thing that you can do for yourself is say, hey, let's step away from that relationship and look for a tribe that is celebrating you, going to educate me. I mean, you want to learn something from them. They can teach you something. You can help one another and empower you, you know. And a lot of times we don't know that in relationships, even in love relationships, that, wow, you know, what am I getting out of this? You know, if a guy has a good job and he's cute, you know, he can date you. Well, it should be a little bit more than that. So, mm-hmm. just some things we should look for.
Well, you know, too, the thing about being in those relationships is a lot of times we are stuck in our own mess, and then when they treat us like crap, then we'll hold on even tighter because right. we think, like, oh, I'll never get anybody better than this. Or like you said, he's so cute and he has a good job, or you know, you become almost obsessed with him. Because you think, oh, this is the best I'll ever get, and another person is going to reject me if I don't hang on to him. You might not even know these things consciously, but you hang on. So right. then it makes it doubly hard to walk away because you don't even have the wherewithal inside yourself to do that. So then you really got to back up and try to figure out what's going on. And a lot of people with low self-esteem don't have any idea why. They just get caught up.
Out up, yeah. Ugh. I agree.
It's terrible, and you know, the best thing, if anybody is in this situation listening, the best thing to do is like Kamisha said, I mean, going to get some assistance in therapy, counseling, coaching, whatever that might be, and if you are reading good books, you know, you'll find something on self-love, raising self-esteem, mm-hmm. feeling your best. Those are the routes to really take, you know, to take a look at. Finding books that are inspirational or meaningful, even stories of people who have come out on the good side or the other side of issues and how they did that. You know, like with your book, you know, we know a little bit about what happened to you, but feel free to tell us, you know, a little bit about your book and how that happened and how you came about getting the title and all of that.
Okay. Again, I am a survivor of teen dating violence and also domestic violence. I actually found myself one day on the freeway after I had just, you know, finalized my second divorce. I had three kids in the backseat that were out of control. I had just started a new job that was very challenging. I was still broken. I was broken on the inside. And it was at that particular point that it was either go to ER and give me some good medication so, excuse me, I wouldn't be as crazy, you know, or, you know, Sometimes I feel like I'm having a nervous breakdown. You know, I'm like, do I need to go to the CEO right now? You know, but instead I just went home and I began to pray because I knew something was wrong on the inside of me. I had experienced so much trauma. And just that through prayer, I grew this relationship with a higher source and went through counseling. I was like, okay, I want to help other women who have gone through these same issues, because that was one thing that I did not find when I would tell people about my story. Nobody could tell me how to heal. They can say, oh, you should be over that by now. It's been so long ago. But no one can tell me how to heal. They didn't know how. They didn't know what to tell me. And so the book, He Loves Me Not, Buried Tears of Betrayed Love, is a book about, again, it's about abuse, being abused as a child and neglected and feeling unheard, experienced teenage violence. You know, this guy, he was cute, who whined me and dined me, but who started to abuse me. And that same behavior traveled into my adulthood. And the buried tears was this woman who was outgoing, who was fun, who was smart and intelligent, but all of that had been buried beneath all the trauma, all the pain, all the hurtful events, the abandonment, the abuse, you know, all the scars and the tears, and just trying to dig her way out and get just a little bit of light, a little bit of joy, and to finally get that and hold on to that peace and that happiness. Instead, I used to drink myself to sleep because I didn't have that type of peace. So this is a little bit about me and why I wrote the book and why I chose self-esteem and to help women primarily who suffer with low self-esteem and low self-worth. And, you know, they want to have that healthy relationship, but they keep, you know, dating the same man. You know, this toxic relationship. They want to run a business, but they don't think they're good enough. You know, they worked in a job for 20 years in the same position because they're afraid to move or try to get a position even higher. So I help these people to believe in themselves, to remove those limiting beliefs from their childhood primarily, or sometimes self-inflicted, and sometimes it's, you know, from someone else conditioning, to move those limiting beliefs so they can be successful in life. So that's about me, the self-esteem enhancing coach. And they can find my book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Well, that's really beautiful work to be doing. And it's wonderful to put that out there into the world because people really need it. So are you still with us, Kamisha?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, good. I'm really glad you're still there. Okay. It is wonderful work to be putting that out in the world. I'm doing a book as well on my journey. And so, you know, hopefully we can each help each other get our books out to the world because, you know, different people resonate with different styles and different people. And do you ever read something and it's like, oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Those aha moments are so fun to have, and so they can just change your life, you know. And I think sometimes the more that your mind is open to saying, I want this change, everything just starts to come your way that gives you the opportunity to make that change that you want to make. And I think that goes for people who, you know, are digging out of a hole. And trying to get out there. And, you know, the show is called The Happiness Hangout. So, you know, it's pretty easy in my mind as we wrap up the show today, it's pretty easy in my mind to think high self-esteem is a natural leader to happiness, don't you think?
I believe that, yes.
I mean, it really has to be because when you have it, it seems like everything starts to go right in your life. You find the right relationship because you're picky about what is right for you. And when I say picky, I mean the type of human being that you'll allow into your life.
Exactly. And I don't think a lot of times that we're not picky. We just kind of allow this person in, you know, and we should be picky. bathtub.
do you hear my... Oh, goodness. I'm walking away. Obviously, there's a bunny outside. I apologize for that. Okay, so you were mentioning about different people. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying that in relationships, sometimes as women, we're not picky. We just kind of go with the flow. If the guy asks you out, we really don't have any standards for ourselves, what to look for. But really just sitting down, stating what type of guy or what type of relationship you would like to have and looking for that particular relationship and not just going with the flow. And having a healthy self-esteem gives you more options, you know. You have the courage to set those goals. You have the courage to make that list and stick to it, you know. And that also builds confidence, you know, getting that good job, getting the relationship that you want, you know, waking up every day with joy in your heart. That is really experiencing true freedom to me.
Oh, I like the way you put that, true freedom. Right, because you're free of your own, kind of the enemy was inside you that's really just coming from you. You know, you're free of that, and that is, well, those are powerful words. I love that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and it permeates in all aspects of your life. If you're talking relationships, you'll allow yourself to find the most wonderful person. If you're talking about a career, you don't put up with things that aren't right for you. You tend to be more giving. I mean, I just think high self-esteem is the answer for everything. And I had a friend growing up. He said to me once, you know, his family didn't have a lot of money, but he did as he went into his career. And he said, the best thing that could have ever happened to me, he said, was the gift of, well, I don't know if he used high self-esteem, but he said the gift of, I guess for lack of a better term, that's probably what he used. Self-confidence, that's what he used.
Okay.
He said, if a parent can instill self-confidence in you, he said you have it made, because his parents didn't. His dad died when he was young, which was his supportive parent, and his mom she did not have the high self-esteem at all. So that definitely did not happen. So, you know, that's really what it is. Once you have that, you've got it all.
Yeah, I do believe that. That's why I said that the self-esteem is really the core of all your decisions, you know. But a lot of times you can be smart. You have people who have master's degrees and PhDs who work at the local IHOP or Denny's, and you're like, why is this person even here? Well, they can take a test, but they really don't believe in their abilities and their skills. They don't believe in themselves. So they take a lower paying position. So for a person who has a healthy self-esteem or high self-esteem, who has no degree, will shoot for the stars because they believe in themselves. And a lot of times people who are doing the interviews, they're not only just looking for talent and the skills, they're looking for that confidence in that person. So that's a lot of things that I talk about with the coaching, with the career thing, that they're looking for that confident you.
And, you know, that part you talk about friendship, too, when you say, and I've realized this for a long time, you are a reflection of who you hang around with. Because, see, of course, we know we can't pick our family, but we can select our friends. So when you look at who's around you, that says it all right there, really.
Yes, it does.
And who you select to be in your life as a significant other.
Yes, it does. It says a whole lot because, I mean, either they're going to bring you up to their level or take you down to their level, either one. So you have to pay close attention to the people that you hang around. And even with people that are very successful, they tell you to hang around other people that are successful. Because if you hang around people who are on the same level as you, well, you're not going to go very far because you've mastered that level. You need to take it up a notch or two. So even with your mate, you know, if you're looking to, you know, have a relationship with someone that is loving, you have to be loving. Because a relationship just get in touch, you know, how loving are you? You know, how well are you at, you know, giving and receiving? And a lot of times we don't realize that, and people struggle with that. You know, you just want to be the giver and do for the other person. And, well, this your mate wants to give you something, and you reject it. So there's a lot of things with self-esteem that we don't really realize how it affects our relationships. You know, if a friend comes over and wants to throw you a big birthday bash, and you go, oh, no, oh, you shouldn't have. You know, why wouldn't you be happy for that? Why wouldn't you be grateful for that? And a lot of times people are not, because the low self-esteem, they feel unworthy of such a great gesture. They probably want it in a hidden way, but they don't accept that, they reject that. So, again, self-esteem is connected to so many different issues. When you think about drug use and even, like I said, the people that you hang around, teen pregnancy, abandonment, you know, all types of issues that people go through.
Just about everything in your life, if you think about it. Just about everything.
Everything, literally.
Wow. Well, Kamisha, we're about to wrap up here. So tell us how we can find you.
You can visit me at my website at www.coachingbykamisha.com. Kamisha is spelled K-I-M-E-S-H-A. Again, my website is www.kamisha.com. And also, check me out on Facebook. Look me up at Kamisha Coleman.
Well, outstanding. Wonderful. So I'm really glad that we got some time to chat. Sorry about a little bit of technical difficulty we had here and there, but we made it.
We made it through.
Oh, goodness. Well, wonderful. Well, I thank you for being our guest, and I'm very happy for you and all of that you've accomplished, and what you're doing and putting in the world is, again, is great stuff, and that's what we like, who we like to bring on the show are people like you. So, Kamisha Coleman, thanks again for being on the Happiness Hangout.
Thanks, Gloria, for having me.
Sure. Humanity Thriving Out Loud. Read The Magic Happens magazine at www.themagichappensnow.com. Make sure to catch my Happiness Quick Reads at my website at www.happinesshangout.net. And don't forget, my book is coming. Release date is August 8th. Getting Married at Last, My Journey from Hopelessness to Happiness. We'll see you all next time on the Happiness Hangout.
Hi, this is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? Check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are. Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.com. happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information.